And I want you guys to see this beautiful parallel between the Old Testament dwelling place and the New Testament dwelling place. God has placed people in your life with specific skills to build you up as his dwelling place. And he has gifted you with certain skills to build up others as his dwelling place. God used his people then to build up his dwelling place, and God is using his people now to build up his dwelling place.
Welcome to The Well. This podcast focuses on applying the Bible to our everyday lives, discussing real life issues from a Christian perspective, and encouraging women to walk in faith. As Jesus followers, we have all experienced the freedom that comes with choosing to follow him, and we want to be a part of your journey to living a life rooted in Christ. This podcast is sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop, recently voted best locally owned retail store in the Gulf Coast. Y'all, they have everything. Your Wagyu steaks, a deli, fine cheeses, fine wines, desserts, just all the amazing things. They're located at 8190 West Fairfield Drive in Pensacola, Florida. And don't forget about their free lunch program through the KTF. 7 days a week, a child can walk in to Costello's and get themselves a sack lunch and fill their bellies. I think Christy said they've almost beat 100,000. That's amazing. All right, so go in, say hi, let them know Truth Rising sent you, and don't miss out. You will be so glad you did.
In your prayer room, my name is Maggie. I am married to my high school sweetheart, David, and we have the sweetest, absolutely sweetest four-year-old little boy named Elijah. And we're a military family. We currently live right up the road in Pensacola. And I love women, and I love God's people, and I love being in a relationship. And I think it's because of something that God brought me through. About 10 years ago, I walked away from God. I was so angry about something that happened in my life. I'm done. I'm gone. This is not for me anymore. That was hard. I try to do it on my own. I don't do that. But almost 3 years ago, it'll be 3 years right around Easter. So literally almost 3 years ago, God called me back. He called me back home, and in turn, he called me back to his people, to his church, to his body. And he used those people to help me in my restoration and my rebuilding up. I would not be in front of you right now talking to you all if it was not for those relationships that God had put me in. So when I talk to you guys about the healing power and the restoration power and all of these things that you can find in deep, deep relationship with other Christian women, I've been there. I was the one laying on the floor who couldn't do anything and had the people lift me up and tend to all the wounds. So I've been there and I've seen that power and I believe in that power. And so that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. I went back and I met Michelle, who does these beautiful broken crosses. And I was asking her about them. And I'm a crier. I have the tissues up here, so don't worry. But Michelle made me cry telling me about these. And I picked this one up and I was like, I want to get this one. And she was like, okay, that's part of my transparency collection. And I said, well, I'm talking about vulnerability. That's pretty much the same thing. So, and she beautifully was like, well, let me pray with you. What is your name? I'm like, you made me cry before you even knew my name. And so that to me was just the cherry on top, that this is the message God had for me to say to you guys today, was the fact that I had 5 minutes to talk to Michelle, and this was the cross. And I was like, okay. So, Michelle, there's your commercial. Everyone go buy her out because they're beautiful. She didn't pay me. I'm not getting commission. But so with all that said, let's start getting real about relationships today, guys. I want to talk about the real power of vulnerability and how it impacts our spiritual walk. And when the team landed on the topic real relationships, that word real just really jumped out, really jumped out to me. And I knew that that's what God wanted me to speak on. And we live in a world today that is just so naturally fake. We can see that woven through our culture, especially as women. There's this standard to be perfect, and there's pressure from outside and inside to look a certain way, to act a certain way. We can look at things like social media. We can look at things like, you know, all of these apps where you can take a picture and then you can go make your face look completely different, and then you can post it up for everyone to see, and somebody sees them, they're like, that's not even you. We can even look at, the hair products, the makeup, the shapewear. Those industries are billion-dollar industries. And I'm not condoning any of those things by any means, because I don't look like this when I wake up. You know, I got the shapewear underneath my dress right now. I'm not saying that these things are bad. I'm just saying when we look at our human tendency is to hide the not so pretty and the not so perfect things. Being real and honest and vulnerable does not come naturally to us. But that's what I'm inviting you to step into today. And that might sound really scary, to be real and honest and vulnerable and open to other people. Because it is. It's scary. We don't know what they're going to say. We don't know how they're going to react. But my prayer is by the end of today, you guys will be excited to do that. And you will be able to look the scary things in the face and say, okay, this is going to be scary, but I got to move forward. I got to step into it. And I have to do this. So I want to start by talking about the not so pretty, the not so perfect parts of our lives. This includes sin. It includes shame and fear and anxiety. It might be that situation that feels completely hopeless that you're walking through right now. It might even be the consequences for your actions, something that you're going through because of something that you did. It's the things that make us recoil and get defensive whenever someone tries to come in and see those parts. No, no, I'm going to keep you. You need to stay away from this. These are called burdens. And a burden is defined as a weight that is pressing down and makes a demand on your resources. The things I listed a moment ago are spiritual burdens. And these are going to take away from your effectiveness in serving Jesus. They will be so heavy that the fruit of the Spirit cannot grow, because every spiritual nutrient that you receive will be going to making sure that you merely survive instead of thrive when these burdens are on you. I want you guys to make no mistake, these burdens, if you try to carry them alone, they will crush you. So what do we do? The first part of that answer is we take it to Jesus. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, I'm going to read it. Leah's amazing with memorizing scripture. She's probably going to recite it with me back there. I got to read it because I might mess it up. But it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus invites us to be real and open with him, to be honest and take all of our burdens to him. When we do this, he will help us. He'll help us carry them. He'll help us walk through the situation, whatever it is. And he's already seen these burdens, and he already knows what they are. He's seen all the not so perfect parts of you, whether it's in your mind, what you're doing, and your soul and your heart, whatever it is, he's already seen it. And he wants you to walk in freedom through him. He wants that for your life. That's why he came, for freedom. to break those chains from sin and the heaviness that comes with living in a world that's full of sin. He wants us to walk in freedom through that. And one of the ways that Jesus helps us with our burdens is both beautiful, but again, it's really scary. He uses other people. Now, stay with me for a minute. I'm going to go down a little rabbit trail, but I promise that it will make sense. In Exodus, God gives Moses instructions for building up his dwelling place where his spirit was going to dwell with the people. And that's called the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is going to be, so from Exodus, when God took the Israelites out of Egypt and out of bondage, out of slavery, into freedom, he was going to have this place where his spirit was going to dwell. And eventually Solomon would build the temple. So this is kind of an in-between, but this is where God's spirit was going to dwell with them. When it was time to build the tabernacle, men and women with various skills came forward. Some of the skills were weaving, dyeing fabric, woodworking, metalworking. There were all these different pieces, and not one person built it up. It was all the different people. It was all of God's people coming together to build up his dwelling place. And they credited God. They said, God gave us these skills. These weren't our skills that we just mustered up. These skills were given to us by God. So God gifted these people to build up his dwelling place. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, that's because God's presence no longer is in the tabernacle, and it's no longer in the temple, and it's not in these four walls or however many walls this church has. That's not where God's presence is. God's presence is now inside of anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is their Savior. So if you believe in Jesus, you are now God's dwelling place. You are where his spirit dwells. And I want you guys to see this beautiful parallel between the Old Testament dwelling place and the New Testament dwelling place. God has placed people in your life with specific skills to build you up as his dwelling place. And he has gifted you with certain skills to build up others as his dwelling place. God used his people then to build up his dwelling place, and God is using his people now to build up his dwelling place. So let's tie it back in with these burdens. There's people that God has placed in your life to help you carry these burdens and to build you up, to pray for you, to teach you, to bless you with their generosity, sometimes to rebuke you. That's the hard one, you know. that's the not so fun part. But to help strengthen you in your faith, to know that God is working all things out for his glory and for your good. He's put those people in your life. But sometimes they can't do that because you're not willing to be vulnerable. Just a couple weeks ago, I was talking to Tiffany. She's one of my people. She's one of the people God has placed in my life to build me up, and I build her up. And I text her, or I was talking to her one time after I had put my son down for nap, and I was like, I'm really struggling with some anxiety right now. She said, why are you anxious? And I knew why I was anxious. And it's because I had been struggling with a sin that's ebbed and flowed throughout my life. It's one of those sins that you squash it, it comes back up. You squash it, it comes back up. And I said, well, I don't really want to tell you this, but I'm about to go talk to all these women about real relationships. So I guess I have to live it out myself. And so I shared that burden with her. And I had all the things, the shame and embarrassment, anxiety. I didn't want to tell her. We don't want to air our not so perfect parts out. But her response was, okay, let's pray. Okay, here's some scripture. let me tell you about how I've dealt with this with this sin as well. And let's pray about it. And you know, you can call me if you're struggling with it. Do I still struggle with it? Yeah, but I know I have Tiffany to call. I know that I have my person who can come fight alongside me. Because we read in James, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And sometimes resisting him looks like calling him for backup. It doesn't mean doing it all on your own. Sometimes it is just you and Jesus resisting him. But sometimes Jesus says, yeah, come on, let's call in the Calvary. Text those women that you know you're supposed to be talking to this about. All right. So let me find where I'm at in my notes, y'all. This is my first time speaking, so I'm not. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm just like, I have a script and I'm trying to not read it. My mom was so sweet. And she's like, just make eye contact with people and they won't even notice you're reading. And she'll be like, you shouldn't have said that in front of them. Now they're all going to know that. Well, on that note, now I want you guys to get real. I know you guys are thinking, I thought we were already getting real. It's going to get real, real now. About to get real. The card that Tiffany told you guys about. I want you guys to take this card out, and you should have a pen in your bag as well. If you don't have a pen, please raise your hand so one of our lovely ladies will make sure that you get one. Don't worry, I'm not collecting these cards. No one else will be seeing these cards, okay? Just want to preface with that. So I want you to be honest, and inside of this card, I want you to write the biggest burden that you are going through in your life right now. I want you to take a moment and just write it out. It could be a sin or a situation that feels hopeless right now. Might be something in your marriage or with your kids or at work. Might be a health or a financial issue. Could be that situation that just feels hopeless. That's never going to end. You're going to be in it forever. It's probably whatever has been weighing heavy on your heart ever since I started talking about burdens. Whatever that thing was that came to your mind or on your heart, that's probably what it is. So just take a moment, write it down. Okay. Now, like I said, I'm not actually going to do this, but I want you to imagine that I walked up to you right now and I looked you in the eyes and I said, give me your card. What emotions does that evoke if I came up to you and I said, give me your card? You don't know me. It's really not that big of a deal. I don't know you. You don't know me. Why would it even matter if I knew what you were going through? Give me your card. What emotion does that provoke when I come up to you and let me see your card? Yeah. What's the emotions? Fear. I want you to write in your card. I want you to write that emotion. What is the emotion that it provokes? It could be embarrassment, maybe shame, maybe fear, guilt, anxiety, maybe anger. You might want to punch me in the face because you said you weren't going to do that. Whatever emotion it is that came to your mind when you pictured me asking you for your card, put that. All right, last thing I'm going to ask you to write. I'm sorry, you didn't come prepared to write a whole paragraph, but it's the last thing I'm going to ask you to write, I promise. So I want you to write underneath that, I am a daughter of the King. If you are saved, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, I want you to write this. I am a daughter of the King. Blank has no control over me. I'm a daughter of the King, and shame has no control over me because Jesus' blood has washed me white as snow. I'm a daughter of the King, and anxiety has no control over me because God cares for me, and He's going to work it out. I am a daughter of the King, and fear has no control over me because my God has already won the battle. whatever it is, whatever that emotion is, it doesn't have control over you. So once you're done writing that, go ahead and put your card in your envelope. If you don't have godly women in your life right now who know what's on that card, you need to start praying for those women to come in. Maybe you have those women already, and that's wonderful. Reassess that relationship. Are those women knowing the situation because they're just going to feed into, well, my husband doesn't ever do this. You're right, girlfriend. He never does that. You are better than him. You deserve the world. What are they speaking into you? Reevaluate that as well. Are these godly women who know this situation and are pouring into you God's way, not the world's way? Some of these women might already be in your life, and they just don't know that you need help with this burden. They don't know how heavy it is because you haven't been open with them about how it's crushing you. They can't see the weight because you're hiding it pretty well. Because again, we're really good at hiding the not so perfect. They might even be in this room right now. You might say, oh man, God, Miss Sue is over there, and I know that's the one I need to tell. You can give her the card today. You don't have to do it right now, but you don't have to give her the card. You might just say, we need to get coffee sometime soon. Can we get coffee, or can you come over? And I'm not asking you to share your deepest, darkest secrets with everybody. Like I said, I'm not taking your card up. I don't want to read y'all's cards. I don't have enough strength to help y'all carry all the burdens of this room. You need to be wise and discerning with who you invite to help you carry with your burdens. Don't just invite anybody. Test the fruit. Look at their life and ask, are the fruit of the Spirit there in this woman's life? Are they patient? Are they kind and loving and joyful? Are they peaceful and self-controlled? Are they gentle? Are they faithful? You even turn that around and say, am I those things? Could I help somebody carry their burden right now? Proverbs has so much wisdom about who to surround yourself with and who to kick to the curb. So you might want to just start there. If you're like, I don't know how to pick good godly friends, maybe start reading in Proverbs and learn, what does a godly person look like? What does a not so godly person look like? Everyone has these not so perfect parts of their life. So as you build these relationships, remember you are a team carrying burdens together. Sometimes you need to be doing the heavy lifting, and sometimes you need to be pouring into them as well. Sometimes you're the one who's being crushed under the burden. You can't even move, and you need that superwoman strength to come in and help you and lift that off of you. Because God has gifted them for you, and he has gifted you for them. God says in James that confessing your sins and struggles to a faithful person brings healing. We can trust God. We can trust him. So we can trust that when he says confessing our sins and our struggles to a faithful person will bring healing, we can trust that that's going to happen. Don't get me wrong, it won't always look pretty. Because we're dealing with other sinful human beings. But the beautiful growth that can come from a real relationship with another Christian woman is so precious. And it's so vital for your spiritual walk and your growth. In Ecclesiastes 4, Solomon explains that two is better than one. That's because they can get more work done for the kingdom. When one falls, the other can pick them up. They can keep each other warm. Y'all, we know it's hard to survive out there. They can help each other to survive when things are rough. And when the enemy attacks, the enemy won't prevail because it will be him against you, your sister, and the Holy Spirit. And a cord of three is very difficult to break. And so, guys, my prayers for you guys just today is that you really just evaluate and look at your life and see, am I walking how God, am I living a life how God wants me to live? Because he doesn't want you to live in anxiety. He doesn't want you to live in fear or depression or shame or embarrassment. He hasn't called us to live in that way. And so I just want you guys to take some time to evaluate, am I using what God has blessed me with? And he's blessed you guys with community and women and this opportunity to be vulnerable and open and really receive healing and really receive deep connection with other people. In the garden, God said it was not good for Adam to be alone. It's not good for you to be alone. You might say, well, I have a bunch of people around me, but are you alone in your burden? You don't have to be. And sometimes it is just between you and Jesus, and that's beautiful, and that's good too. But I think scripture makes it pretty clear that we're not in this alone, that we need community and we need people. And when Jesus calls us to himself, he calls us to his people. Well, guys, that's all I got for you. Sorry for making you write a paragraph. And I'm glad I didn't even have to use the tissues. This was a miracle, I think. Thank you guys so much. And I really look forward to meeting some of you and talking to some of you. And I'll probably need the tissues when I'm talking to you.
I love Maggie. She's the best. And actually, Maggie, this is one of the things that I loved, that Maggie has been speaking into me for a while now. I don't know if I'm stealing anyone's speaking material, but look in your life. There should be someone before you and coming up behind you. If that's not happening, make it happen. I just moved and we went to a new church and God's been so good. He put us in right where we were supposed to be. And I went to this group, this women's group, and I really liked one of the women there. So I just texted her and I said, do you want to go get coffee? She thought something was wrong. I guess most people text her when something's wrong. And so we get to the coffee place and she's sitting there and she goes, okay, so what do you need to talk to me about? She's like, already. And I'm nothing. I just wanted to get to know you. And then you know what she did? I guess that hasn't really happened. She said, you know what? I liked that. Let's do that once a month on Saturday morning. Let's just get together. And I love that. And then guess what? I started reflecting. I'm like, wait, is there someone coming up behind me? Because that's how it should look. It doesn't matter. Like, don't look in the way of your fleshly eyes, right? Look in the way that Christ wants you to look. It'll be different. You'll be surprised. And that is something Maggie taught me. She actually struggled. At one point, we were trying to find women that have gone before us. And they literally were telling her, I mean, you had numerous women. No, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy. And these are women in like retirement, all the things. Oh, they can come to ours. And we're like, no, we need you. We're dying. Like, I need you to come speak into me and let me know it's going to be okay. It won't kill you. It's going to take you right to the line, but it's not going to take you over. So reflect in your life right where God wakes you up. Because remember, where he woke you up this morning, that's your mission field. It's not anywhere else. It's right where he woke you up. And guess what? That means you have purpose and value. Do not let anyone tell you anything else. That is a fact. Or he would have taken you home. You woke up this morning on your mission field with purpose and value. So let others speak that into you and speak that to the person coming up behind you. Okay? So just wanted to add that on.
At Truth Rising, we believe prayer is powerful. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it, and you may be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. May Christ make his home in your heart through faith. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, and may you be filled with joy. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.